In the book of Romans, chapter 5, there's a specific verse in here that I want to read today because it goes along with what I want to share. And if we can wrap our head around this today, I believe it'll motivate you and push you to another level because I believe God wants to push you there. He's always pushing you. You ever notice that about God? He's always pushing you. Yeah, thank you for the four people who love God today. I know people are like, whatever, man, I'm tired of being pushed. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings because it produces something. There is something that God is trying to do in your life that does not come without suffering. You don't just get character without persevering. So as you reattempt to establish God as first and priority in your life, you have to understand that first, God is who he is. It does not change. And second, you're going to have to go into the process that he's called you into, this process of salvation, and learn some things about Christianity. Suffering being one. Because you have to learn how to persevere, and persevering is not easy, especially if you've been given everything in your life. It's hard for me to be around people who can't do certain things. I'm not saying it's because they don't have knowledge, but I'm saying it's because fill in the blank. Either they didn't take the time to learn it, they were never taught, and they use that as an excuse as why they can't do it. Or they've decided that somebody else will do it because it's not my grace. There are certain things that I am not good at, and I will be the first one to tell you. When it comes to like handy stuff, I can do certain things on a basic level. I can tell you what a Phillips head is, a flathead is. I can go in. There are certain things I can do. I can get some stuff done. The bigger stuff, I call people. Craig? Craig! But as he does it, I appreciate the gift that he is given, and I'm able to do that because that's what the body does. It's the body. It's not that there's a certain, I'm just not graced for certain things, and that's okay. I can probably do it 5 years later. 5 years later, stressed out. But why not take the gift that has been given, the grace that has been given, and say, okay, hey, let's lock into that. That's why the body's important. But it's a willingness to be able to connect in the body. What does that have to do with what we're talking about today? It has a lot to do with what we're talking about today because, first of all, you have to recognize what you're graced for. The reality of the Christian walk is that it's hard and it's difficult. There are certain things that you cannot do on your own. You need the body. There are other things that you have to learn how to persevere on. And the only way you learn how to persevere on it is actually do it. It is not some fix that God says, okay, I'm going to fix it and you not do it. No, you're going to do it and God fixes it. You're going to do it and God's going to fix it while you're doing it. That's what faith is. Faith matches God's response. God said, okay, if you come after me, I'll respond. So there are certain things, and here, let me just help you with this. There are certain things that you don't know you're good at until you actually start to do it. So don't check yourself out just because you think, well, I just can't do it because I'm just, how do you know? I learned how to video edit during COVID because we had to. And now, over the last year, I've got contracted work to do some video. Hear what I'm saying. You learn to do it because you have to do it, and you never know that you can do it until you do it. And then you realize, oh, that's another skill. Thank you, Lord, for that grace. If I would have checked out of the process and said, I can't do that, I would have missed out on the opportunity to develop skills that I needed. Perseverance. it's not working, but I'm choosing to persevere. Lord, it's not working like I want it to work, but I'm going to choose to go through it anyway because I know in the end, you're for me. Because guess what? It's really not about my outcome. You're producing something in me. And what you're producing in me is character. Because that's what it's about. So if I lose a fight, it's not about me losing the fight. Did I learn something? So next time, I'm better equipped to hit. So you came at me at my legs last time, and I wasn't ready for it because I wasn't strong enough there. I had some things I had to deal with, but it's okay. I worked on some stuff when you weren't looking. Because there were some things I needed to strengthen in order for me to be better. So next time you come at me, I know where to stop you. So suffering is an aspect of life, but the enemy will come in and prey on some of the things in your life that you're wanting to see happen that are not happening. And so he'll come at you on all sorts of levels. You know it's never going to break, right? You know, you've been praying a long time for that. It's not going to change. So why even? You're right, but I'm changing. And the next time you come at me, I'm going to learn about it. See, and God's so good, he does it this way. All right, last time he got whipped. This time, you got some stuff on your belt. So next time he comes in and tells me it's not going to work, I'm a little stronger now because I learned how to take some hits, and I learned how to fight this time. I know that I know what this is. I'm going to persevere in this because there's nothing that you can do that can stop what God wants to do in my life. So we're going to stay right here. And this is where I'm going today, and I'm excited about this because you got to learn to take some hits if you're going to win. If you can't, you're not going to overcome. You won't. And for those people who have told you that that's what Christianity is about, it's about this just receiving, has deceived you. You can't take a hit. You can't throw a punch. You're in trouble. You can't throw a punch spiritually at the enemy. You're in trouble. You can't stand in the midst of hardship. You're in trouble. Hope does not disappoint. Do you understand that? You can be disappointed, but hope doesn't disappoint. But the only way that hope is developed, if you learn how to suffer, persevere through the suffering, see the character that's being developed, and hope all of a sudden has an avenue to say, hold up, it's working for me. It's not because I'm so good. It's because now the hope that's inside of me. That's what he's trying to get. The enemy tries to get you to see there's no hope left. The Lord's trying to get you to see there is hope. But you got to understand a few things about hope, Richie. Number one, hope floats. It floats. It sits up on top of your circumstances. You got to look up for it. So when you talk about Jesus and you talk about the foundation of who you are, Jesus is already inside of you in the fullness of his spirit. He doesn't have to get any bigger. He's already in there. What we're working on is his space. Does he have the space to stretch out? Does he have the ability to stretch you out? And so we got to understand that the hope's there. It doesn't disappoint. But you don't understand how much hope you have until you're in something. And he will lead you in something just to show you got hope. So above all else, Christian, you have hope. Above the world, above your circumstances, above people, you have hope because of who Jesus is. There is no reason to stay in despair. No reason. You are not like the world is. You have, or maybe you haven't tapped into it, or that's what it is. You act like the world when hardship comes. So if you act like the world when hardship comes, then there is no hope. But if you turn to the side and realize, oh, wait a minute, I do have a hope inside of me, it's Jesus, then I begin to realize that it's not about me, but it's about the hope. The hope is the thing that's going to get me through. But if you've never been through anything, if God has never brought you through anything, how do you know what hope is? It floats. It's the reason why it floats. It sits up top. It doesn't sink. You don't have to prop hope up. You have to go get it. I feel like I'm buried. Okay. Look up. I got hope. You ever talk to some of these people, you're in a conversation with them, and you know they're going through something. They got low self-esteem because they look down. As a Christian, your posture should be this. I'm not saying you don't feel this, but the hope gets you up. So if there's not something inside of you that stands at attention when you start to worship Jesus, we got to talk. If there's not something that changes inside of you when you recognize the goodness of God and what he's taking you from, we got to have a conversation because you're looking at it from a different viewpoint than God does. You always have hope. Always. Always. Maria, you just walked in. No reason for a Christian to commit suicide. No reason. No reason. Why? You have hope. It's bad. You got hope. You got hope. Talk to somebody. I'm going through it. Who's not? I'm going through it. Listen, I just need to pray for me. And a person who is walking with Jesus, how's your hope? Where are you looking for? What you doing? Where's your anchor? What's going on with you? That's why the body's important. That's why we don't do this just as an exercise every week. There's other stuff we can be doing. But Jesus has made it clear. Get together. My body is important. Every one of you is important. Get together. There's hope in Jesus. That's why we get together. That's why COVID was hard for people. There was that connection that was lost. That's why we do this. That's why we persevered through it. Because there's hope that's there. It floats. It's out there. If I could just be around other people, man, I know my spirit to be lifted because God has created you to be in community. Isn't it something that changes when you get around certain people? Your attitude changes. Because there's something about the Spirit of God and believers, there's a thread that's there. Hope floats. You got it. It's not convenient. I can't do it because not on the way to Starbucks on Monday. I want you to think about some of the excuses you've told yourself over the last year or two or why you couldn't do certain things. And then I want you to think about the response that God had to that. Or if nothing else, if hope sits up above your circumstances, why don't you remember the cross and think about that excuse that he didn't have or that he could have had? This is inconvenient for me, man. I really can't carry that cross up that hill. These people don't like me. He would have checked out. You would have still been lost. You understand that, right? As a Christian, so it should be a check for you and a balance for you when you decide I'm going to check out. Not to say you don't have a day where it's like rough, but you decide to check out. Just think of the cross, how he decided not to check out and say, okay, you didn't check out. You constructed me. I'll go back in. And guess what? When you do that, things begin to change because you're not operating according to feeling anymore. Now you're walking by faith and not by sight. Now I'm going in. It doesn't matter. I'm hurt, but I'm still going in. Why? He did it for me. I'm going to do it for him. I can do it. That's what hope does. Hope strengthens you. It gets you to the point of where you can actually believe again. It flows. You got to get it, though. You got to get up and get it. I'm buried. Reach up. Just go up and get it. Hope's also an anchor. It's an anchor. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul. It's Jesus. He's the anchor in the midst of your storms, in the midst of what you've gone through. The only thing that held you in place was him. The only thing. If you have nobody else to praise, it's Jesus. Because he held you together. When you were falling apart, it was him that got you stable and solidified you. It was him that said, don't check out. Don't believe that way. Don't lose it. I got you. I know it's tough. I got you. I know you want to blow your brains out. I got you. I'm your anchor. Remember me. I'm your anchor. You got to remember the anchor. If he's first, it's easier to remember he's my anchor. But if he's not, if he's second, third, and fourth, it takes you a little longer to realize that he's my anchor because his voice has now dissipated amongst the distractions. So now it's more difficult. Hey, I'm your anchor. When you're with him, I'm your anchor. You can drift, but I got you. You got to remember the anchor. I got this rope. This represents hope. You take this with you wherever you go. Hope. Wherever you go. You go through hardship, it's going with you. You don't know what's happening in your life, you still got hope. But people remember what they're tied to. And sometimes they forget what they're tied to. And they don't realize that when Jesus asks them to walk through something, he goes with you. Not only so, we rejoice in our suffering. Suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. If I'm going in it, guess what, Lord? I'm going in with you. Let's go. You just take this thing with you. And so the question is, if you're in something right now, what's connected with you? What's in your life right now that's wrapped around you that does not need to be there? So you can't hear. You can't hear the hope that you have. You can't hear it because you just, his voice has been muffled because of who's connected to you. I value marriage and I love marriage, and Misty and I have a great marriage and we walk through things continually. And the one thing that years ago we decided to do, and we knew that God, bless you, sister, we didn't know that God, and God really done in our life, is said, you know what? We're going to stop controlling each other. It's not that we really ever, quote unquote, did what we did. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're younger, when you don't get what you want and you want to make sure that your voice is heard, you control because of immaturity. But years ago when God said, listen, it's time, and he did a work in our life, we stopped controlling each other. Guess what? I started to hear his voice better. As I made room for him in my life, for him to do what he had to do in me and allow him to do what he had to do in her, all of a sudden our life began to change because we weren't each other's idols. Jesus became the anchor, not my marriage. He became the anchor. He became the anchor so that when stuff happened, I just stood on the anchor. So when I walk into my house every day, guess who I'm walking in on? Jesus. Because I know what he did. I know what he did for me. I know what he's doing for me. And so I can walk in confidence because it's not based upon whether or not it's reciprocated by you or not. Because I'm anchored. If you're not anchored, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it on your jobs. Missy's going to talk about relationships next week. I'm excited about that. But everyone wants relationships, but they're not anchored right. People want sex. They don't want relationships. Yeah, because that's what it's about. But now you don't want a relationship. So when Jesus comes in and does the work, says, I'm your anchor, just be ready. Your life's totally going to change. Totally going to change. I am grateful for what he has done in my life and the blessings that he's brought into my life and what he's taught me in my life to get me where I'm at today. I wouldn't trade it. I actually like me. Because once you're anchored, it doesn't matter who comes, who goes. It doesn't matter what's said, what's not said. I'm anchored, man. I'm anchored. I have to be anchored, because if that were the case, I'd be all over the place. I'd be running to and fro for fix me. No. But when I'm anchored and Jesus says, stay in the midst of it and we're going to develop some stuff, then I'm going to bring some change. And so what happens is hope grows. And the more I stand in it, the more I learn to persevere and characters develop, the more hope I get, man, the more assured I am. So some of you are carrying around a rope that's probably about 2 feet. You got a little hope, right? Some of us have been through a lot. How you doing? I'm doing great. I got hope. Let me tell you about Jesus. Starting from there all the way to here. So where you at? I'm disappointed. I get it. But is your disappointment taking you out? The longer you live, the more you realize that the small things don't matter anymore, man. They just don't matter. Okay, cool. You don't like me? Fine. Two, next. I'm trying to get what God has called me to get. And so if that means you got to go, you got to go. But I mean, come on. But in reality, what really matters is, what is he asking me to do? Because when it's all said and done, it's about him. If he's really first and it's all about him, then that's really what it all should be about, right? And so when he comes in and takes you up on the offer to be first, don't be surprised when he starts moving stuff around. That's why I'm always an advocate for emotional health. I'm always an advocate for identity, because when he comes and starts moving stuff around, you got to be careful of what you're connected to. Because if you're not connected right, it can be devastating. So the faster you get unhooked, and the quicker you get hooked to Jesus, the better you're going to be. I would say it ought to be a race in your life. It ought to be a race. Man, let's see how healthy I can get fast. Yeah, instead of waiting, there's certain things I got to do right now to get focused on Jesus, because I know he's got stuff coming to my life. That's why he always is telling you, hey, let's get stuff right, because he's got stuff coming in. I want to bless you, but am I still first? A third thing. Go ahead, Alan, put it up for me. It restores. Man, I'm excited about God this year. I'm excited because he's in the business of restoring, and I feel restoring a process. But that doesn't come without some stuff. Sometimes God will take stuff away for a season just to do a work in you and then bring it back. Just ask Job. Sometimes we'll take it away, make sure he's first, and then say, okay, you good, and then bring stuff back. Because what God's interested is in character. So if the character is not right, the blessing is going to kill you. How you doing? Man, I am blessed. I'm blessed. What does that mean? I'm blessed. I'm blessed because it's not about what I have or what I don't have physically. There's something inside of me. I'm blessed. Because I'm communicating with God, number one, who's not of this world, but I'm communicating spirit to spirit. And there are certain things I'm just blessed that I've overcome because of what he's done. So you can tell that to people. How you doing? I'm blessed. Well, why? Because of Jesus. People don't get it. They don't get it. They won't get it. There are things that God has done inside some of you. You can't explain how he did it. But he did it, and you're blessed, and no one can take it away from you. And he restores. I believe that this year is going to be a restoration year. And God's going to restore joy. He's going to restore peace. I'm telling you, he's going to just pile it on, because you're built now to handle it. He couldn't give it to you before because you weren't ready for it. You were too weak in your foundation. But because now you're built and you're strong, you can hold the weight of it now. God said, I'm going to bring it in. I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to start to restore it on you. You're big enough now to hold it. That's why he does it in seasons. He takes you away for a little bit to work on it, brings you back and says, oh, you know how it is. Remember when you were in school, middle school especially, and you graduated, let's say, seventh grade, and you came back in eighth grade, and 1 year, well, what happened to you? All of a sudden, they grew up. You didn't like them, but now you do. Like, what happened? Michelle, what happened? Girl, you were ugly.
Yeah, what about you were ugly? But what happened? Well, you know. Oh, yeah, cool. It's the same thing for you. God brings you back in. What happened? Man, you look good. Man, Jesus has been doing a work. And that's the exciting thing about being in Christianity. It's not all blood and guts. Right? That's only in the off years. There is peace and blessing because you learn how to persevere, character, hope. If we can't get to the character part, you don't realize the hope part. And then you can't really hold the blessing of what it means to be on the other side. I'm telling you, there's a place you can get to God that it just simply doesn't matter anymore. And I feel that today. I just feel a real sense of blessing and peace. And some of you might say it's different today. Because perseverance produces character, character hope. And it's like God kissing it and saying, you've done what I asked you to do. It's one thing when God blesses you. It's another thing when someone else blesses you. God, when he blesses on different levels. And you can't measure it. And so I want to encourage you today as we go into this, continuing this fast over the next several weeks, is allow God to continue to tweak and do what he needs to do. Because he is bringing in blessing this year. He is, just so you know. He is. This year will not be like last year. He already said it. It will not be like last year. The fights you had last year, you will not have this year. And it's because that you've learned to persevere. And those of you who have been around for a while, you know what that looks like. And when you come into a season of blessing, you can rejoice because you knew what it took to get you there. And God said, I'm pleased. I'm pleased. And receive what I'm about to bring into your life because it's for you. You know, God wants to give you some stuff this year. Give you some stuff. We have this hope as an anchor. As an anchor. What has dropped anchor in your life right now? Are you built on the solid foundation? Or are you still trying to straddle what you're doing, and then you're trying to straddle what God's doing, and you're expecting strength? But you can't be straddled on one and straddled on the other and be strong. You're going to have to let go of that foundation that's sinking and get both feet on the rock. And it's scary for some people. Get it on the rock. For some of y'all, I'm straddled. I got one foot on my marriage, and I got one foot on Jesus, and I'm trying to make both work. If you just take your foot and put it here, Jesus will begin to work that out for you. Some of y'all, I got one foot on my kid, and I got one foot on Jesus because I'm trying to make sure they do what they're supposed to do. And if you will just take that foot and put it on Jesus, that kid will become who God has called them to become. The more you control, the worse it's going to be. Well, what does that mean? What about my influence? I'm not talking about your influence. If they're really serving Jesus and you're really putting Jesus first, it's going to work out. But you can't exacerbate your kids and expect that, well, they're going to get what God's called them to get, and they're going to get the fire of God in their life, and you're going to try to prophesy to them when they're 10 o'clock at night when they're trying to go to bed. And you're like, you won't do this. And I tell you what, you turn that chat snat off. You don't know how to pronounce it right. All that stuff. If you try to control, you know, kids are going to give you like the onesie and be like, you're out. If you just let your kids be your kids and don't be so Christian. We know you're a Christian. But just be Jesus. Things will work out. Your kids will talk to you. If you just live your life and live in freedom, live the way God has called, your kids will talk to you because you're not all up in their stuff.
Thank God. Jesus has done what he's done and he continues to do in the girls what he's doing so that they can just be them. Let your kids be your kids. Don't try to Jesus them at 9. They're not you. They're going to grow up. They're going to be in the house of the Lord. Eventually they might get there. Eventually. Some of you adult kids, you're praying for that this year. They're coming home. They're coming home. Some of y'all floating on the outside. Y'all got adult kids. They're like, where are you at? You know better. What are you doing? What are you doing? Okay. God'll get you. If you'll take your foot off their neck and put it on Jesus, he'll work. Just straddling, man. Just try to see. I'm trying to balance both. Why? If Jesus is first, all those other things will work out. Addictions will break if you stay on the rock. They'll break. Strongholds will break. You stay on the rock. You trying to do it like this, it's not going to work. Stay on the rock. I'm smoking on the side, but I'm coming to church on Sunday. Because if you just stay on the rock, it'll break. I'm trying to do both. Why? Don't do both. First. He's first. That means if he's first, then he's first. And one thing that's good about God is that God doesn't have to prove that he's first. He already knows it. He already knows it. But you just need to know it. And I'm telling you, things will change in your life this year if he's one. If he's one, all of a sudden you'll start to see, oh my God, that broke. I'm not worried about this anymore. Oh my God, I started doing this. That changed. The peace I have right now, the joy, it don't matter anymore. He's first. He's first. He's first. And then all of a sudden God starts to add. And he adds to you to compliment you, not to take you away. Because he's first. And because he's first, you're built right. All of a sudden now, all things are working together for good. It's all working together. My God, it's clicking. It's clicking. I love you, but I don't need you. It's all clicking. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. And oh, man, thank you. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Why are you so blessed? Oh, he's first. Every person in this room, Lord. Thank you for that relationship you called us to. Lord, you've called us to overcome. Overcome. And as we learn to persevere, develop character, we thank you for the hope that we have in you. We can be glad in that hope. Be glad. Because that hope does not disappoint. We are not disappointed because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. We know we're loved because of what you've done. And that gives us a reason to get up. Help your people, Lord, to persevere this year. Get up, persevere. Lord, strengthen them. Physically strengthen them in their emotions. Grow them in love this year. Grow them in love. I pray that they would have such capacity this year that there would be no doubt that you are who you say you are. And that people would see the love of Jesus in us. Lord, things would break in people because of us. Thank you for the Spirit of God that's in this house. Break chains for those that are coming in this house. As you send people out into their workplaces, thank you that the Spirit of God is going to be so strong. God, I pray that the revival would break out in stores. People would get saved at Publix. There would be such an encounter with you that your houses will be filled with people this year. That you break the hold of the enemy over their life in Jesus' name right now. I know you're doing it. Thank you, God, as you break the chains in your people, that people will be freed, and that there will be a great outpouring of your Spirit.